Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, last Sunday I began my 8-part sermon series on stewardship, and the theme for this series is stewardship, a matter of receiving and living. In fact, last Sunday we learned two important points about the teaching of biblical stewardship. The first point is that we must receive from God before we can be His stewards. You know, that's important because usually when people hear stewardship, they think about what we're supposed to give. But really, it all starts with what we must receive. You see, not only is God the one who gives us life and all our physical blessings, but even more, God is the one who gives us forgiveness of sin. He's the one who gives us the hope of eternal life. And all this through faith in His Son, our Savior, who died and rose for us. Therefore, we must receive God's physical and especially spiritual gifts before we can be His stewards. The second point we learned is that stewardship is a way of life. In other words, stewardship is so much more than how much money we give to church or how much time we spend volunteering at church, as important as those things are. Instead, when you understand biblical stewardship, you realize that God calls us to be His stewards in every aspect of our lives. God calls us to do all that we do to His glory and to think about how we can be a blessing to others. With that said, today's sermon title is God's Stewards Are Served and Serving. Today we will learn from God's Word how God serves us and how we in turn have the privilege of serving others with our lives. You know something? It's not natural for us sinners to be servants. Martin Luther once said that being a sinner means that you are curved in on yourself. The fact is, we're all naturally selfish. I admit that I am too. All you have to do is observe some 2-year-olds and you'll see what I mean. However, even when we do serve others, isn't it true that sometimes we are tempted to wonder how we will benefit in the end? You know the popular slogan, I'll scratch your back if you'll scratch mine. Now don't get me wrong, I am not saying that it's sinful to work at a job and then expect to get a paycheck from your employer. I'm not saying that's wrong. I mean, the Bible clearly teaches that the worker is worth his wages and that employers should adequately compensate their employees. What I'm talking about is our motives for volunteering and serving others who are in need of our help. I mean, let's face it. Sometimes we are motivated to help others because we think it will benefit us somehow. For example, a husband might say to his exhausted wife, "Honey, I'll do the dishes for you tonight if you let me go on that 3-day fishing trip." Or a wife might say to her stressed out husband, "Dear, I'll rub your sore neck if you let me buy that new outfit." Or a child might say to his overwhelmed parents, "Yeah, I'll mow the lawn if you raise my allowance." You get the idea. Sometimes we're tempted to serve others for selfish reasons. And this is the wrong motivation for being a servant. Now, of course, other times we're tempted to serve because we like the respect and the attention that we'll get. You know what I'm talking about. If we do good things, then others will think that we are good people. And we like that. We like the honor and the respect we get when people notice how wonderful we are. But my friends, this is also a wrong motivation for being a servant. Worse yet, if you examine history, you will find that when people have power and authority, they often expect others to serve them. In fact, our gospel reading from Matthew shows us that even Jesus' disciples had that problem at one time. They did not yet understand what Jesus' kingdom was all about. You see, they thought that Jesus was going to destroy the Roman Empire and then give the Jews of that time their own earthly kingdom. And the 12 disciples were looking forward to having positions of power and authority in that kingdom. In fact, the mother of two of Jesus' disciples did her best to make sure that her boys would have the top two positions, sitting at Jesus' left and right hands. But Jesus then points out that those two positions had already been filled. Little did they know that Jesus was talking about the two criminals who would be crucified with him, one on his right, the other on his left. You see, Jesus' kingdom was about him serving and saving his enemies by dying on the cross in our place of damnation. Jesus then explains to his disciples that the leaders of this world use their power and authority to rule over people and command their servitude. But Jesus is not like that. Even though Jesus is God himself, he humbled himself and served those who are under his authority. That's why Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Did you hear what Jesus said? God loves you so much, sinner though you are, that he willingly chose to serve you by sending his own son to the cross in your place of punishment. What an awesome God we have. In fact, we need to remember this truth about God because the devil does all he can to get us to have sinful ideas about God. You see, sometimes the devil tempts us to think of God as some angry, self-centered being who expects us to serve him before he will do anything good for us. Now, not only does this evil view of God result in sinful reasons for serving him, but even worse, when we have this view of God, we will often stop serving him if things don't go our way. We saw an example of this in our Old Testament reading. There were some people back then who decided to stop serving God because they found out that some unbelievers were living better lives than they were. And so basically they said to themselves, "Why should I bother living according to God's will? I mean, some unbelievers I know live as they please and everything goes their way. But sometimes I face challenges and trials in this life, even though I've done my best to serve God and conform to his will. So what's the point? If God can't give me what I want, why should I serve him?" Well, have you ever thought that way? Let's face it, we're all guilty of having sinful ideas about God and sinful reasons for serving him. What we need to remember is that we are sinners who actually deserve nothing but God's wrath. And yet, God chose to send his only Son to be our Savior so that we might be forgiven and live in God's love forever. In other words, God serves us, and therefore it is a privilege for us to serve him. And thanks be to God, he uses his word to show us the truth so that we can be like those in our Old Testament reading who feared the Lord and honored him. You see, these people who were righteous knew that they were sinners. You see, when the Bible says that somebody is righteous, it doesn't mean that they're perfect and sinless and better than everybody else. When it says that somebody is righteous, it means that they realize they are sinners and that Jesus alone is their Savior and that serving God is simply a response to his love for us. Yes, these people knew that they were sinners, but they also knew that God loved them and promised to send them a Savior who would serve them by saving them from their sins. And so our Old Testament reading teaches us that the righteous are those who serve God out of joy because they know that God has served them out of love and mercy. I mean, not only does God provide for for all of our physical needs, even though we don't deserve it. But even more, God's only Son served us by giving His life as a ransom payment for our sins, that we might live as God's children forever. In fact, you need to know that Jesus continues to serve you still today. I mean, have you ever wondered why we call what we do here on Sunday mornings a service? We come to this place to be served by God. For example, God serves us when He pours out His gifts on us in the waters of holy baptism. When you were baptized, God adopted you as His child and put His name on you. When you were baptized, God washed away the guilt of your sin and clothed you with Christ's own holiness and innocence. When you were baptized, God gave you the Holy Spirit who convicts you of your sin and also gives you the ability to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. God serves us in holy baptism. And that's why God wants us to remember our baptism. In addition, God also serves us through His Word that we hear and read and think about. In fact, that's why reading and singing and preaching God's Word are at the center of this service. Sorry about that. Think about it. God uses His Word to serve us. And how does He serve us? He uses His Word, first of all, to expose our sin and give us repentant hearts. But even more, God uses His Word to proclaim that we are forgiven and holy in His sight because of Jesus and His death and resurrection for us. On top of that, God uses His Word to teach us His will for our lives, so that we can turn away from the sin that hurts us and also conform our lives, our thoughts, words, and deeds to God's plan that will be a blessing for us and others. So God serves us through His Word, which we receive at services and in Sunday school and in Bible class and in family and individual devotions. But there's more. God also serves us whenever we receive the Lord's Supper, where we get to eat and drink the very body and blood that Jesus gave and shed for us. The Lord's Supper is God's way of reminding us that Jesus' death for us is not merely some past historical event. You see, the Lord's Supper is the place where the benefits of Jesus' death are given to us personally. In the Lord's Supper, God serves us. Finally, one other way that God serves us is through His gift of prayer. Think about it. God doesn't need our prayers. He knows what we need before we ask Him. But God knows that we need to pray. Prayer is God's way for us to come to Him with our physical and spiritual needs, with our fears and trials, and know that He will hear us and provide for us as He sees best. Prayer is also God's way for us to give Him our thanks and our praise and our adoration. Not because He needs that. It's not like God needs His ego stroked. But we need to praise Him. We need to thank Him. We need to honor Him because that's good for us. And it lifts up our spirits and shows us where our hope really is. So prayer is God's gift to us, and still yet another way that He serves us. Now, what happens in our lives when God serves us in all these ways? The result of God serving us is that we become servants of God. But that's a little odd. What does it mean to be a servant of God? I mean, God doesn't need anything from us. God doesn't need us to serve Him. So what does it mean for you to be a servant of God? Well, what you need to know about being a servant of God is that God serves others through you. Martin Luther's teaching on this point could be summed up like this. God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. And now we're talking about the Christian doctrine of vocation. The doctrine of vocation means that God works through your daily work to serve others. And do you know what that means? It means that you are to look at your job as being so much more than merely earning a paycheck. I mean, even though we all need to work for a living to provide for our needs, The fact is that the work we do, whatever that work may be, it is used by God to serve others. So if you farm for a living, God is using you to feed people. If you work for the post office, God is using you to get people their mail. If you're a stay-at-home mom or dad, God is using you to manage your home and care for your children. If you work on a garbage truck, God is using you to keep our city sanitary. If you're a doctor, God works through you to heal people. If you work in a nursing home, God is using you to help those who can no longer care for themselves adequately. And if you happen to open a business, God is using you to provide products and services for people, as well as giving your employees an opportunity to earn a living. But in addition to our work that we do to provide for ourselves, God also serves others through us when we volunteer our time to help others in need. We do this when we perform service projects in the community. We do this when we help our family or our friends, our neighbors, and yes, even people we don't know. We do this when we give of our time and our abilities to serve in various ways at this congregation, so that the mission and ministry of this church might move forward in the world. In fact, I thank God every day for the people who volunteer in various ways at this congregation, because God works through your work at this congregation to serve others. Now, obviously, I could talk all day about the various ways we serve the Lord by serving others. My point is that God wants you to see your entire life as an opportunity to serve God by serving others. In fact, we should all remember that everything we do should be done to the glory of God. As we heard in our second reading, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Simply put, we serve Christ when we serve others. However, the final thing I want to leave you with today is that Christ has served you. Jesus served you by giving his life as a ransom for your sins. That means you can come to Jesus with all the sins that burden you and weigh you down and know that you are completely forgiven. That means you can come to God through faith in Christ knowing that you are holy and innocent in his sight and loved dearly by him. Christ has served you, and now by his grace, you get to be a servant. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.